It's time for children's church. Brandon, are you doing children's church? Woo, y'all better be good this morning. Miss Brandy Wilkes, woo, I'm telling you. If you'll follow Miss Brandy to my left and to your right, those of you who are staying in the congregation, please turn your Bible to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Matthew is first, Mark is second, Luke is third, then guess who? John, that's exactly right. John. If you look at the first four Gospels closely, you can easily see that Jesus is pouring his heart out to his apostles as he is quickly approaching his death. Jesus knows. Remember, that's what we say every time we open one of the Gospels. Jesus knew. Jesus knows that his day is fastly approaching, and he's trying to pour his message into his apostles because he knows his apostles are going to carry the gospel all over the world. He's trying to prepare them. And as we look at the Gospels, we understand that the apostles are scared to death at times. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was crucified, they ran. They all ran and hid. They were scared because they didn't know what was coming next. But Jesus is trying to prepare them. Jesus tells them about many things in this time, but three things really stick out in your pastor's mind more than any others. Jesus tells them how to love, how to seek peace, and how to understand people around them that hate them. How to love, how to seek peace, and how to understand the people around you who hate you. So this morning, today, I want to ask you a question. Who hates you? Who is it that hates you this morning? Now, I want to tell you, I can tell you that I've seen hate in my life from a very early age. From a very early age. There was a guy that I went to school with, and he was a great guy. Nothing really unusual about him. And don't y'all laugh. If you laugh, we're going to have counseling after this service. There wasn't anything really unusual about him except for the size of his head. Who just laughed? He had an unusual head. His face was really round, and his forehead, where his hair was, he had a really high forehead. He's a great guy, but he just looked a little different, right? Brittany, you couldn't have helped him with his hair. He just looked a little different. And do you know that people wouldn't talk to him, or they didn't really want to hang out with him? And some would say, I hate him just because of the way he looks. Just because of the way he looks. Donald's listening. Donald can relate, can't he, Deborah? just by the way he looks, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. They hated him. There was another guy that I knew growing up. He was like above genius level. I mean, didn't have to study, and it was beyond, it was like Greek. I mean, he just, I mean, I was like, man, shut up. I like you. Just let's talk English. Latin. I mean, I struggled through Spanish. Hablo es poquito español. Muy poquito. I mean, he was speaking Latin and pig Latin and all this stuff. Y'all, listen, brilliant guy, and people didn't want to be around him because he was so smart. They hated him. He didn't even have to study. I have to rack my brain. He can sit down and write a 20-page paper. It takes me 20 months to write a 20-page paper. They could not stand him because of that. Now, I liked him. Let me tell y'all why I liked him. Because you look at him and say, hey, man, you see that wall right there? I mean, it's a brick wall. I'm not talking about, sheetrock. I'm talking, Kim, this was a brick, cinder block wall. Hit that wall. He'd draw back and down, and he wouldn't tap it. I mean, he'd, pow! And then he'd laugh. And we were like, yeah, buddy. But people didn't want to associate with him, Butch, because he was brilliant. Brilliant. There was another guy that I went to school with, and y'all, he was a bully. Didn't y'all ever have a bully at y'all school, or is that just me? Did y'all ever have a bully? I mean, Alec, it seemed like he took personal pleasure in bullying me. One of the last times I saw this person, Amy and I were at a basketball game. It was a college basketball game, North-South doubleheader in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had gotten free tickets, and it was North Carolina, South Carolina, the Citadel, and Furman who were playing. Well, I grew up being a North Carolina. I grew up in Kingdom Stadium. I kind of adopted South Carolina when I went to Kentucky, but I'm a lifelong North Carolina fan, and I have about as much to be happy in North Carolina as I do in South Carolina, but not in basketball, praise God. Amen? So we're at this game, and lo and behold, two people in front of us is this dude with his friends. Now, I mean, we're three or four years removed, Miss Dorcas, from high school. I mean, I'm thinking, well, it's good to see y'all, man. It's good to see y'all. And he turns around and looks at me. He says, yeah, I remember you were a North Carolina fan. And he, nasty. He took great pleasure in bullying me. Let me tell you what he did one time, y'all. Y'all remember now, your preacher hasn't always been a preacher, okay? Y'all hear me? Okay, good. I'm just checking. We were at a party, a regular party, not like, you know, a birthday party. We were at a party, okay? And we're all sitting around, you know, talking and carrying on. And this guy walks up right beside him, and he flips a badge, Alec. He says, I'm an undercover agent. I'm going to need to see your ID. And I'm thinking, y'all, have y'all seen those videos on YouTube and TikTok where this guy's dressed up like a terrorist and he's got a backpack? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all seen those? And he'll run inside a building and he'll take that backpack and throw that thing, and the next music comes on and it says, run, run. And the people just start running. That was what I did. When that dude pulled out that badge, and I'm like, oh, no, no. Hey, listen, you might come get me, but you're going to have to chase me to get me. I ran. Y'all, that was a setup. That was my friend, my friend's friend who did all that. He was a bully. Took great personal pleasure in bullying people. I saw this guy walked up to a party one time at the same place, and he just walked up and he says, what's your name? And he told him what his name was, and he just started beating him. I mean, just a bully. People didn't like him just because he was a bully. Now, I can kind of understand that one. I can kind of relate to that one. There was another guy I went to school with. Y'all notice they're all guys, but there's girls who are bullies too. Let me tell you. You girls, when y'all are in high school, listen to me, Hannah. Y'all, hey, right there on that row right there. Let me, y'all pay attention right now. Girls are the nastiest bullies in the world. Y'all hear me? Look at her. Look what she's got on. Look at those shoes. They don't match. Look at her hair. Look at her. She doesn't look like she brushed her teeth in 3 days. Girls are nasty bullies. But there was this guy, and nobody liked him. This fourth guy. Nobody liked him, Cody. You know why? Because he was a spoiled rich kid. He had everything. I told my dad, I said, Dad, he said, what do you want for Christmas, son? I said, I want a bicycle, Dad. I want a bicycle. I should have given him a picture from the catalog, the way we used to, you know, circle from service merchandise. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you, son? And circle the page in service merchandise and handed it to him and said, this is what I want for Christmas. Nope, I got a 3-speed with a horn on it. Listen, if I'm lying, I'm dying. No, I'm not dying. Cody Taylor, I am not lying. So my dad bought me a 3-speed with a bell and a horn on it. That, listen, y'all know what that's called? That's called a cool sucker. Because when you're riding through TK and all the other kids have got BMX bikes, Cameron, that sucks the cool right out of you. You're not cool riding a 3-speed bike. You're not. You're not. But oh, my buddy who was a spoiled rich kid, he had a mongoose. Woo! He had a mongoose. You know, you couldn't back kick to stop the bike. You had the special handlebar bike. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And he had the little pegs on the back where you could stand up and do tricks and stuff. I couldn't do tricks on the 3-speed, y'all. I tried. Listen, we would ride at when the golf course shut down and TKK, it's really hilly. We'd get up to the top of the clubhouse and we'd get on hole number 9. You're not supposed to. They'll chase you, okay? And we'd ride right down the middle and jump those things. Well, they were jumping and doing tricks. You can't do that on a 3-speed. But nobody liked him because he was a spoiled rich kid. Always had the nicest bats. Just couldn't stand it. I still don't like him. I don't hate him, Bill. I just don't like him. Now, people hated them, all these people, for these reasons. Some didn't need a reason. It was just in their nature to hate. Y'all hear me, little girls? Y'all hear me? Some people didn't even need a reason. It's just in their nature. I just don't like them. I don't like them. You need to be nice to them. Steve was talking about it a few minutes ago. Jesus called us, created us, and saved us, and told us to love everybody. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter what your head looks like. It doesn't matter how smart or how not smart you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a bully or not. We're to love everybody the same. Well, Brother Kyle, even if they're a bully to me, you're to love them that much more to Jesus. They won't understand why you love them. So, who in this room likes to be hated? Anybody? All right, girls, y'all look at me. I don't know what y'all taking notes over there? Every time I look, y'all looking down. Who in this room likes to be hated? Hannah, do you like to be hated? Anybody? No. Listen, everybody truly wants to be loved. The truth be told, we all want to be loved. I like being loved, don't you? What does Jesus say about those who hate? Now, everybody, he's always got to throw that Jesus card in there. Yeah, I do. What does Jesus say? Because it doesn't matter what I say, because people don't listen to the preacher anyway. What does Jesus say about people who hate? Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 18. It starts with the word if. That's conditional. You have to ask yourself a question. It says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember, the word I spoke to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name because they don't know the one who sent me. In other words, they don't know God. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. Now they have no excuse for their sin. The one who hates me also hates my Father. Y'all might want to underline that one. Don't get mad at me. James, don't you get mad at me. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, if you don't love me, if you hate me, you also hate God. There's a large group of people in this world, about 5.3 billion people, who would say, well, hold on a second. I love God, but I don't know this Jesus. According to Jesus, they don't love God. Verse 24 says this. If I had not done the works among them, and no one else has done, they would not have sin. Now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this happened so that the statement might be written and the law might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, please forgive us of where we fail you. Now, Lord, I pray in this short time that we have with you, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds. Help us to get a full plate of your word this morning, that we might see and understand everything that's being said. Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. What is it that Jesus has to say about those who hate? Well, if I sum this up real quick, Miss Desi, and we wanted to leave and go eat lunch and not stand in the buffet lines, I could say this right here and I wouldn't have to preach anymore. But Jim, you know I'm going to, right? This is what I could say. If you hate, you don't know God. Darren, if you hate, you don't know God. If there's any person that you hate, Maggie, you don't know, you don't love God. You don't know God. Because God, when He comes into you and possesses you, He removes the hate from you. Listen, there's some people that have done some stuff to me. Brother Gary, I want to hate them. But I can't. The love of God separates me from that. And the Holy Spirit of God looks at me and says, hey, listen, I understand, but you're not that way anymore. You're not that way anymore. So what do we see in our scripture? The first thing we see is this. In verse 18, Jesus states that the world hated Him first. How in the world can that be? How in the world can that be? That Jesus gave up everything. He gave up everything. Corey, everything. He gave everything up. He left heaven. Listen, I've left Savannah before, and I've left my home before. I've left the home that I grew up in before. But I've never left heaven. When I left home, boy, it hurt because I loved the house that I grew up in. Sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I'll close my eyes, Butch, and I'll go back to my childhood home, and I'll walk in that home and walk out on the dock, and I'll sit on the dock, and let's sitting on the dock of the bay. I will. It helps me go to sleep. That's my refuge. But Trinity, I've never left heaven. What must it be like to leave heaven for a bunch of scoundrels like us? What must it be like? He gave up everything, and the world hated Him first. Have you ever made a roundabout statement just to make the statement? Sometimes when Amy and I are in joking moods, it's joke, Bill, okay? When Amy's cooking, I'll be sitting in the living room and I'll say, something's burning. And she'll tell me to shut up or, you know, something, you know, endearing like that. But this is what I'm trying to do. Smell something burning. You know what she'll do? Y'all, huh? No. If somebody says something's burning, what are you going to do? Just sit there? That's right. Thank you, Trey. You're paying attention, son. Thank you. Because your mom-in-law's here, right? Your mom's here. Trying to impress your mom. But yeah, listen, something's burning. You get up and look. It happened in the office the other day, didn't it, Becky? I'm sitting in my office and somebody comes and they're smoking a cigarette. I can't see them, but they're smoking a cigarette coming to the food pantry. Y'all know what Becky did? She said, sure, you don't have to put that out. Put it out. I said, put it out. I'm not going to tell you again. I said, Becky, you need to calm down. But the whole office wing filled, and it didn't smell like cigarette. It smelled like, you know, something was on fire in the attic. I was getting ready to call you, Gary. We're going to go open the attic. But if you smell something burning, you go and look, right? Right? All right, y'all stay with me. Hold on a second. Now, it sounds like Jesus knew how true Christians were going to be treated in the future for standing up for Him. Listen, there's no other reason for hate. There's no other reason for anybody to hate us as Christians. You think about it. There's no other reason for people to hate us as Christians than being what? Christians. Oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, but you ought to be demonstrating the love of God every single day, and that should draw people, not repel people.
Amen.
Now, if you were of the world, Jesus said, the world would love you as its own. Now, hold on a second, because you're going to have to identify yourself here in a minute or two. Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Don't get mad at me. He says this. He says, if you were of the world, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Proverbs 16:2 says, man will justify it with himself to make all things right. He can justify everything he does to make things right. But we have to take a strong look here this morning. Does the world love you, or do you love the world? Do you love Jesus, or you know, do you love the world? You're going to be able to find out here in a second. You can justify everything that you do. We can justify everything that we do except hate. We can say, oh man, you know, this, that. Miss Virginia, we can't justify hate. We cannot justify hate whatsoever at all. The world will tell you that what you're doing is okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, listen, sex before marriage, it's okay. You know, shacking up, it's okay. Homosexuality, it's okay. Relationships, different types, it's okay. Drugs, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. But listen, you as Christians, you cannot, will not ever justify in your heart hate. You can't. You can't. You cannot justify hate. What is this scripture not saying? Number one, if the world loves you, understand it never loved Jesus. If the world loves you, understand it never loved Jesus. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a part of something that hates my Jesus. Do you? I really don't. Number two, what is this scripture saying? If the world loves you and you claim to belong to Jesus, something's wrong. If the world loves you, if it just cuddles up, if it calls you on Thursday and says, hey, you coming? You coming tomorrow? If the world loves you and includes you, and doesn't see you as different and separated, something's wrong. It really is. Something's wrong. Church, listen to me. You cannot cuddle up the world with the world on Friday and Saturday night and come in here on Sunday morning, sing, oh, how I love Jesus. No, you don't. If you love Jesus, you would love what Jesus loved and hate what Jesus hates. You would want to spend more time with him and less time with this world. As a matter of fact, when that phone call came on Thursday and said, listen, you coming Friday and you know full well what's going to be going on Friday, you'd say, look, you know, I'm different. I don't do that stuff anymore. I can't hang with you, man. I love you. Won't you come go to church with me on Sunday morning? You know what they're going to say? You are a Jesus nut, aren't you? Well, if you mean by loving Jesus, yeah, I guess I am. I love Jesus because this is God's honest truth. Before I became a Christian, I was hanging out with all that party crowd. Yesterday, we drove from Clinton, South Carolina to here. And if my car would have broken down, flat tire, had an accident tray, and we saw a lot of them, y'all crazy people driving on 26 and 95. Y'all slow down. Didn't get an amen. But anyway, during that time with those, if I would have broken down, I might have been able to call two people who I could rely on, Butch, to come help me, to come get me. But something happened, Dan. You see, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I became a part of the family of God, it's so good to be. How does that song go? It's so good to be. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. Something changed. Y'all know what changed? Listen, yesterday, if I would have broke down on I-95 or I-26, I could have called over 200 people all over the state of South Carolina and in the state of Georgia, and they would have come, it didn't matter what time, to come help me out. It has nothing to do with me being a preacher. It has everything to do with being a brother. Amen. And if I got one of those calls, which I have, oh, God. Yes, I will. Yes, I'm coming. Do you like that? No, but it's part of being who you are. That's what family does, right? Amen. Jesus wants us to totally understand the world's motives in this scripture this morning. Jesus wants us to totally understand the world's motives. Listen to this. 19b. He says, However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you, you out of it, the world hates you. Let's read that again. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. That kind of stings a little. It does, and it doesn't. You see, because of who you line up with, because of your love for Jesus, because of Jesus' love for you, because he chose you, automatically the world hates you. Well, Brother Kyle, why are you just beating that down? Why are you, you know, dragging that out? I want you to understand it, because a lot of Christians, I don't think, understand that. We get upset when we find out that certain aspects of the world don't like us. They hate us. For no other reason, Desi, because we're Christians. We're Christians. Understand this, church. You will be, if you are of Christ and you've stepped away from the world, listen to me, you will be cussed, called a fanatic, a Jesus freak. You'll be called judgmental. Anybody been called that before? That's like their favorite card. That's kind of like the race card of today. I mean, everybody throws the race card, but with Christians, it's, you're so judgmental. Scripture says they can't quote anything in Scripture, but they can quote this right here. The Scripture says, judge not lest you be judged. Right? But it also tells us, if we love you, we'll tell you the truth. But if you're a Christian, you'll be called judgmental, hypocritical. You will be tried, pushed, beaten, and battered. You will be told to shut up, sit down, disengage, or be destroyed. And understand, the closer we get time to the tribulation, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, understand something, church. You can let this bother you if you want. You can. The world hates me. The world does hate you. You can let it bother you, or you can take a different approach. You can sit down and cry and give up and go back to the world if you want to. But I'm going to hold my head up high and say, hate me some more. Hate me some more. I can't tell you the looks that I've gotten when on a daily basis, people ask me, how are you doing? And I said, listen, I'm blessed and highly favored. Jesus changed my life. Do you know him? The looks that they give me, I can feel the hate from time to time. And they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, I'm doing good. And I'll take it a little further. Sometimes, Bill, I'll say, man, I'd hate to live life just being good. I said, wouldn't you like to be saved? You can feel the hate from time to time, church. According to this scripture, when the world hates me, I'm being identified with the one who loves me most. Let me say that again. I'm going to try and get a couple more amens out of that. According to this scripture this morning, when the people in this world hate me, I am automatically being identified with the one who loves me the most.
Amen.
And so are you. When you get that nasty look, the angels in heaven are singing. Church, right here at the end, Jesus makes two strong points before he moves on to his next point. Point number one, he makes is this: be prepared for persecution. Ricky, you caught that when I read it, didn't you? He said, if they got me, they're going to get you too. Is there anybody in here this morning who wants to sign up? Now, if you hadn't signed up for the trunk or treat in the back, you need to do that. But if we had a sign-up sheet right beside the trunk or treat out there in the back, and it said, sign up to be persecuted. I want to be I haven't gone through. But Brandy, I'm going to put you at the bottom of the list. Where's Brandy? Children's Church, that's right. I'm going to put Brandy at the bottom of the list. But anybody want to be first? Anybody? Anybody want top of the list? No, absolutely not. Be prepared. He says, be prepared to be persecuted. If the world persecuted me, they are going to persecute you too. Understand that. We get just defeated when we try to use or tell people that we're Christians. Why don't you do so and so? Why don't you come out? Why don't you go fishing with us? Why don't you go out hunting with us? Why don't you do this? Well, listen, I'm a Christian. I still fish, but I don't want to go fishing with you because y'all like to fish drunk. I don't do that. Understand, if the world persecuted Jesus, the world's going to persecute you. And we can be upset about it, or we can say, okay. Becky? Oh, well. Oh, well. Listen, a servant is not greater than his master, Jesus says. I accepted Jesus and everything. We have this misconception. When I accepted Jesus, everything is going to be roses and skipping through the daisies. That's not true at all. It's really not. Jesus never promised us that. Jesus does not want us to wonder, church, if we are going to be persecuted. He wants us to learn to deal with the coming persecution like we should. If you are a Christian, if you identify as a Christian, it's not a matter of, oh, well, I wonder if I'll ever be persecuted. Oh, yeah, if you identify as a Christian long enough, you're going to be persecuted. And you can be defeated by it, or you can say, oh, well. Oh, how I love Jesus. Shut your mouth. Nah, I'm good. Oh, how. Quit singing. Hey, listen. We're going to be persecuted. The second thing he wants us to understand is this. There'll be no excuses. Deborah, you're going to be persecuted. Secondly, there's going to be no excuses. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says this. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. Now they have no excuse for their sin. Listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. Understand this. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. It might be. You might call it my opinion. But I base my opinion on the written, complete work of God. The Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the? That's exactly right. Jesus says he's the only way to heaven. That, therefore, when you stand before God right now because you just heard me, whether it's been on the internet or you're here in the sanctuary this morning, because you understand now the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven, when you stand before God, you have no excuse. No excuse. None. Do you know what this means? It means Romans 1:20 again. God reveals himself through his creation. Even the invisible things of God are clearly seen, that man is without excuse. God's clearly seen. We can't sin and say, I didn't know. Church, we understand that sin is not sin unless sin is recognized as sin. But when God is revealing himself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have no excuse. None. That means that a lot of people, guess what? You're in trouble. You really are. The reason why people of that day and the people of yesterday, the people of the day and tomorrow hate Jesus, listen to me, I'm just about done. The reason why all these people hate Jesus is because he exposed sin and called it what it really is. Jesus exposes it. He shined his light on sin, and people could say they couldn't hide under the cracks or under the pews anymore. He exposed sin as sin. He told how sin broke the heart of God and how it caused people to choose the world instead of God. Church, Jesus in this scripture was teaching to two people groups. I'm just about done. Pay attention. Jesus is teaching to two people groups. Those who are hated by the world and those that belong to him. That are loved by him. And those who are loved by the world because of who they identified with. So you're either in love with Jesus and loved by Jesus, or you're in love with the world and loved by the world. Two things real quick. Who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? Everybody in here has to answer that question for themselves. Do you identify with the world, or does the world know that they can't identify because you identify as a Christian? Do you identify with the world or as a Christian? Listen to me. Oh, I do both. I'm both, because I'm both. I straddle. I'm just torn. You better not be torn. Scripture says, "Be you not lukewarm, lest I spew you out of my mouth." Christian, listen to me. If you don't remember anything I say, please listen to me. Expect to be hated. I know it hurts, but you're blessed. Amen? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father in heaven, as we come to you right now during this time of invitation, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we pray that you would be with us. We pray that you would move, Holy Spirit, upon a heart that needs you right now. God, we're all here for different reasons. And Lord, you brought us here, whether we realize it or not, for this reason, to come to know you as your personal Savior. Lord, help us. If there's somebody here in our midst this morning who does not know you as their personal Savior, let today be their day of salvation. Let them come down and let me show them what the Word of God says each person must do, imperative, must do, to have eternal life. Be with us now during this time of invitation. Lord Jesus, please move. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? If you're here this morning and you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior, walk down the aisle. Let me show you what Scripture says we must do. Will you come?